for you. One more for you. Okay. Praise God. This is this dad, and they were having a raffle at work. And he won the raffle. He won the raffle, one toy. He won the raffle with one toy, and he goes home to his five kids. And he says, "Who do you think I should give this toy to?" And you know, the place goes, "Wah, me, me." And they, you know, they just go crazy. "Dad, dad, me, me." Okay. Then he says, okay, listen, who obeys mom the best?" So there's like, gets quiet for about 10 seconds. And then there starts back and forth to one another. And then they go, "Me, me, me." And then he goes, okay, I think I got it. Who obeys everything mom says and never talks back?" And they all take a deep breath and they get real quiet. And they in unison say, "Okay, dad, you can have the toy." Everybody say, "Dads." Dad. Oh, dad. Well, listen, it's Father's Day and we honor all our dads. It is not an easy thing to do. So we just honor you. We thank you for coming. And I have a few thoughts I want to give to encourage dads, but don't check out on me, because actually my message is going to deal with not just dads. It's everybody. And there's different cat groups. Okay. So don't check out, or I'm going to make an airplane and throw it at you. Okay, turn over with me to Ephesians, would you? Ephesians chapter 6. Now, my kids memorized the first part. They're like, "Oh, no, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents." Gosh, you think I wanted their kidney when I would read this. They just were like, "Oh, man." So, but we're gonna read a little differently. Here we go. Ephesians 6. Verse 4. I'm going to start with the New King James. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Okay, now I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, because there's a real good part there at the end. It says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down so hard on them. Take them by the hand, lead them in the way of the master." Now, how many of you notice that this is specifically written to? Yeah, right? Fathers. It's specifically written to fathers. So today I want to give you the title of my message, Footsteps of Fathers, or Footsteps of a Father, okay? So if you're taking, no, I already wrote that down for you. You don't have to take notes, all right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together here today to celebrate fathers, just to celebrate you, because you're by far the best father. We thank you that you are going to encourage us, direct us, and guide us today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have ever been to the beach? And I really specifically remember this, because I think my kids are all about 2 years apart. So Jesse was just walking. We were at the beach. And Jack's walking down the beach. And Jesse's trying to walk in his footsteps. All right? He's trying to walk in his footsteps. And he's tumbling, because he's probably about a year and a half old. And I'm just sitting down on the beach chair. And I'm watching this go on, cracking up. And then Jack hears me laughing. And he turns around and he's watching this. And he notices that Jesse, because his stride is not as big, couldn't do it, and he's getting frustrated. So the good dad, he starts taking these little steps, okay, just so his son could walk in those steps. Isn't he a good dad, right? Good dad. Now, I could have told you a story about the snow, but nobody wants to hear about snow right now, right? We're talking about the beach, okay? So interesting. I wrote this, and I didn't want to muff it up. So I want to read this to you. It's on your piece of paper. It says, "God has graced dads with the greatest responsibility of setting the course for their children and walking in a way through your lifestyle and what you do that allows your children to what? Walk in the footsteps you create. God has graced dads with the greatest responsibility of setting the course for your children and walking in a way through the lifestyle and what you do that allows your children to be able to walk in the footsteps that you create. Guys, I think we have to be really intentional. You have to be intentional. It's not a, okay? You get to do this. Okay, when I say guys, men, dads, you get to do this. You get to walk in a way that creates a path for your kids to walk in. All right? Now, because if you are doing this, if you are walking in a way that your kids will follow, you will, believe it or not, help them not go through some of the frustrations and problems of life by the footsteps that you walk, if you're intentional. So this morning, I'm going to give you three different kinds of footsteps. You ready? Now, before I get into it, did you know it is a biblical principle that God is so into fathers? God is so into dads. He's into them, all right? But listen, we live in a culture. We live in a culture this day that is just emasculates men. It demeans fathers. It's bad. All right, and I want to give you some statistics. The results of fatherless homes. This is all about the United States. Ready? 43% of children in the United States live without fathers. 90% of homeless runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in like abuse centers, guess what? They come from fatherless homes. And 85% of the youth in prison grew up in homes without dads. Okay, how many of you agree that's bad? That's sad. Okay, that is bad what's going on in our culture. So I want to toss this out to dads. You need to, it's like I'm not pointing my finger, but I want to encourage you. Thank you, Joe, for giving that. You need to take responsibility, right? We need dads taking responsibility. And just take the challenge. Be a dad. Be a dad. All right. Now, did you know, as far as I was just kind of chewing on this for like 2 weeks. As far as I know, the title God gives mankind a title. You get to share a title with God, and it's not Lord, it's not Savior, but you guys get to share the title with God called Father. We call him our most heavenly Father, and to me, that speaks volumes. He must think a whole lot about fathers, because you get to share that title. Dads, fathers, don't you? I mean, praise God. Okay, glad you're all here. Okay, number one, footsteps. Ready? Footsteps that follow. This one, I'm just talking to dads, specifically for dads. Footsteps that follow. All right? So again, we're doing Ephesians 6:4, and it says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I just want to look at the second half of that verse, okay, where it says, "But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up literally means to nourish, to nourish. Now, 2 weeks ago, I bought my very first tomato plant. Ever, because grandma's not putting in a garden. I was like, dang, what am I going to do? So I bought my very first tomato plant. Jack used to do plant, I don't do plants, but I bought one. I put it in the ground, and I bought this special potting mix, stuck it in there, and every day, I crack me up. I go out and check my little plant. First, after I put it in the ground, it was like this, and then I'm watering it, and I'm like, okay, I am nourishing that plant because I am going to have tomatoes. Ask me. I don't even know when they start producing tomatoes. I know nothing about this, okay? Help me, help me, help me. But listen, how about dads? You're to nourish your kids. You're to feed them. You're to create an environment that is healthy for them in life. Dads, you're to nourish your kids. I'm just reading it from the book here, all right? Bring them up. That means to nourish, okay? Now, you nourish them in all different ways, not just, you know, you put clothes on their back and you feed them, but you nourish their souls, their minds, their wills, their emotions. You nourish them. That's part of your responsibility. The second one says training. Well, okay, y'all know what training is. Training simply means you show them how to do. Show them how to do things, right? Training. Such as, who is it? A friend of mine, they sent their kid to a football camp for the summer, for a couple weeks in the summer. You know why? He was going to be trained in how to throw footballs and all that stuff. All right? We know what training is, okay? So, but it says, fathers, you're to train your kids. You're to show them the Lord. You're to show them who God is, His word, His plans for them. So fathers, we're supposed to be training. Okay, third one, admonitions. That simply means instructions. Instructions, okay? Now, here's the charge. The charge is specifically given to dads. Ephesians 6, the charge is specifically given to dads. You are specifically given the role and the responsibility to nurture, to train, to instruct your kids. All right? Now, we love moms. Moms are awesome. But who did God give the instruction to? It's actually a command to dads. All right? So, dads, you're to nourish your kids, create an environment for them that they can grow, and you're to instruct them. Now, if you're doing the training of your kids, if you're doing the creating an environment for your kids, if you're giving them instructions as a dad, okay, where are you getting your instructions from? Where are you getting your instructions from? If you're supposed to lead, who are you following? All right. So dads, one of the things that dads can do is they can make up their own plan. You know, I got my own method of my raising kids. I got my own thoughts on that. And sometimes we take them from our experiences of life, which some of them aren't bad. Anybody, you know, some of my experiences with dad were really good. All right. So, but listen, where's the primary source that you're getting your instructions from so that you can lead? And they'll follow. If you can say, "Hey, I'm following in his footsteps. I'm following and getting my training from the Lord." Well, then it's pretty safe to say you're going to do a pretty good job training, nourishing, and instructing your kids. Okay? Now, instructions. Instructions. All right. Instructions to most men. Here we go. Most men think that they have built-in GPSs inside of them, right? Most men think they can put everything together that's known to mankind, all right? Yeah, I know. I was married to one for 33 years. And especially if something comes out of a box, like some furniture, right? And there's this piece of paper in the box that falls out. Uh-huh. Okay. Those instructions to guys are usually suggestions, right? All right. Such as guys like to put it together on their own. It's crazy, but I've watched this over and over. Okay. So you're putting together this thing that came out of a box, some furniture, and you're about 85% done. And that suggestion paper is over here. It's probably in the box, right? And you get about 85% done, and you look, and you go, crud, that thing's on backwards. And then you go, man, close the door. I don't want to hear my kids hear what I might say because you've just didn't do suggestions, all right? All right, this one I can attest from. My dear husband was all done with a project, all right? And I walk in, I go, hey, honey. what's that? First he says, hey, look, it's done. Okay. Hey, Pat. And I go, yeah, yeah. What's that piece on the floor? What's that part on the floor? He's like, ah, they just give you extra ones. Any wives? Anybody ever see that with your spouse? Oh, yeah. Okay, my favorite is we have this sliding glass door to go out the kitchen, and I have vertical, what's this? This is vertical? Vertical blinds. So I came in, and there's not one piece left over. There's two brackets. And I said, what's that? He says, well, they gave us five, but I only needed three to hold that thing up. I said, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, yep. And honest to goodness, it stayed up. It's amazing. Much to my amazement. But listen, seriously, dads, if we're supposed to nurture our kids, train our kids, give them instructions to nourish them, don't you think that maybe we kind of have to humble ourselves and say, I'm going to get my instructions from here, right? I'm going to get my instructions from here. I'm going to follow those footsteps of my maker, my heavenly father. Don't you think that's a good idea? All you should be saying, yes, Pastor D, that's a great idea. I never thought of that. Yeah, okay. So, there's a lot of reasons why I've watched men and I've talked with them and they'll say, Pastor D, I can't do this train thing, instructions and nurture thing. And they'll give me excuses, I just don't know enough of the Word of God. And I've made too many mistakes. I didn't have a dad, so I listened to all sorts of excuses. But listen, don't let the reason be the reason that you don't. Don't let that reason stop you from starting. Don't let the reasons why I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. Don't do that. Just decide, I can do this. I am going to grab this instruction book, and I can nurture my kids, instruct my kids, and train my kids. Amen? Amen. Listen, in the book of Joshua, Joshua's just been handed the whole ball of wax. Moses has died, and he's got him. All right? And these people are coming up and telling Joshua all these things they're doing. They're just having all sorts of problems. Some of them decided to go worship this and that. And Joshua says, hey, what does he say? I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this day you guys have to choose who you're going to serve. And if you want to go this way, fine. If you want to worship that, fine. But for me and my house, all right, you just have to make a decision, dads. That's way I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow his instructions. I'm going to follow his paths, and I am going to nurture and train and instruct my kids, because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Okay, am I still on step one? I can't remember where I am. All right. So really the challenge for all men, and this is my men talk here, is whose steps are you following? Whose steps are you following? And there's great advice out in the world, but I'm telling you, you walk in the footsteps of the Lord and his word, and you will follow the right things. And actually, it's critical that you're following his footsteps. All right, moving on. Number two, here we go. Footsteps that fail. Now, I am speaking to everybody but dads right now. Okay, I'm not talking to dads. I'm talking to everybody else that's not a dad. Okay, now listen. I'm going to give you some earth-shaking information. You ready? Put your seatbelts on. Dads aren't perfect. You should clap, guys. Dads aren't perfect. And listen, we live in a culture where dads and men in general, there is so... Yeah, someone's saying, yeah, you got that right, Pastor D. I saw that look. All right. But listen, we live in times where there is so much, or they can feel like there's so much pressure on them to be right, to do right, to be the best, be the best husband, raise the best kids, be the best at work, be the best serving. There's a lot, that's pressure. There's a lot of pressure that dads can feel, All right. And listen, when they come home, that should be their sanctuary, their safe place, their peaceful place. And the last thing they need is their wife and their kids looking at them saying, "Hey, Dad, you did this wrong. Hey, Dad, what's the matter?" All right. That's the last thing. So listen, we need to give some grace for our dads. They're going to muff up. They're going to fail. They're going to make mistakes. So we need to give them grace. Now, that does not mean an excuse to be a deadbeat dad and do whatever you want, okay? Right? But we're going to give them grace in their life when they make mistakes, because dads aren't perfect. Praise God. Your wife should go, "Well, you should talk to me." Here we go. Colossians, turn over to Colossians 3:13. Guys, this should be the foundation for every relationship you have. Okay, every relationship you have, this scripture is it. Okay, Colossians 3:13. Make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave. Yeah, so you must forgive others. So guys, I've seen have a lot of pressure, and this scripture simply says you give them allowance, give them space for their mistakes and their failures when they miss it. Okay, now, so wouldn't it be nice if the dad missed it and the kid said, "It's okay, Dad, you're not perfect, we love you." Wouldn't that be nice, instead of saying, "Dad, I can't believe you did that"? Wouldn't that be nice? Amen. So we need to make space for dads when they fail. All righty. Now, basically, there should be this big T-shirt dads all wear, and it says, "Give me a break. Just give me a break." All right. Dads aren't perfect. All right. And by the way, you're not perfect. So why would we put pressure on a dad to be perfect when we wouldn't want that pressure on us? Man, I am not perfect, all right? So don't put pressures on dads. Give them a break. Just, you know, the other part I was thinking about. So what was the statistic on fatherless homes? Just off the chart. So here we have dads that have never had fathers. Here we have dads who have never had fathers, and we expect a novice to be an expert, right? We're expecting them to be perfect, all right? That's just off the chart stupid, okay? So, listen, we need to create space for our dads to grow, to learn, to make mistakes, and then where you come alongside and you say, "It's okay, Dad, we love you, we honor you, we respect you, and we're going to walk life with you," because dads aren't perfect and they fail. Alrighty. How many of you know the VeggieTales? Anybody? Everybody? Who doesn't know VeggieTales? You'll have grandkids if you missed that first thing. Okay, there's one VeggieTales about Jonah. Now everybody know the story of Jonah? All right. But the VeggieTales story of Jonah is awesome. And at one point, the guy, I can't remember which one it was, he goes like this and he says, "You know, everybody deserves a second chance." Look at your neighbor and say, "You deserve a second chance." And then look at him and say, "I deserve a second chance." Okay. Dads aren't perfect. They're going to need a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, just like you do. Amen. Please give me some second chances, baby. I need them, okay? All righty. Third one. So the first one was we have footsteps that dads follow. The second one's footsteps that fail. And the third one's footsteps that fill. Footsteps that fill. Now I want to talk to all the people who don't have dads. Okay? Maybe your dad has passed away, whether you're a young child, anytime. You just have a dad. You're fatherless, right? Or maybe you'd say, "Pastor D, I might as well have been had a dad that passed away, because I never knew this dad. He's never even been in my life." Okay, everybody know people like that. So I want to talk to you about this. And there's a really cool scripture It's Psalm 68:5. I think I wrote it down for you. It says, God is a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. And you remember, I read all those statistics to you. There's a lot of fatherless. There's a lot of people, not just kids, adults that have been fatherless. So God is a father to the fatherless. So I read that and I go, well, okay, how are you going to do that? How are you going to teach me how to drive, God? I'm fatherless, okay? All right, you know, so I start, and really, this is the challenge to all men in churches. How does God do this? How does God be a father to the fatherless? I'm going to give you the answer. By the way, the church is called the body of Christ. You all are part of the church. You all are the body. You're the body. You're all parts of the body of Christ, okay? And you can, that means that you can be a father to the fatherless. You can be a father to the fatherless. So right now, say you have kids and you got your own kids, but how about you step in for somebody else who doesn't have a father? That's what this body of Christ does. You step in, all my men, to someone who doesn't have a father. And I've watched a lot of you guys do this, you know, like high five, just great. But we need our men of the house, to step in to people who are without. Amen. So if you're a case in point, Jack would do this. Some of my kids would have kids over to play. And guess what you can do? You can instruct that child that comes from a fatherless home. You can step in and be a dad to somebody that your kid brings into your house. Now, personally for me, I did that a lot as a mom. And Sherry had this one friend, Amy, and life home was, they make movies. It was just off the chart. And she came over here and, man, I just got to be a mom to her. Everything from, by the way, don't take the lid off the rice when it's cooking. Right, women? If you guys don't know that, you ruin it. So I just started being a mom and teaching this kid how to cook. This girl, it was just hysterical. But, you know, we just, actually Jack and I became a mom and a dad to this girl because she was fatherless, motherless. It was just bad. So if we've got 43% of the children in the United States that are fatherless, how about the church steps in, dads, and you become fathers to those that are fatherless, okay? So we need to have a culture where older men can say, hey, I can help you be a man of God. I can train you so you can train yourself in the Word so you can train your kids. How about if you're going to a grow group and there's a bunch of guys at your grow group, you say, hey, let's get together. I got some questions because, you know, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. All right, so older men need to look at this younger generation instead of saying, they are just bad. Do you see how they're acting? No, stop saying that. Say, look for opportunities to bring them alongside you and help them be dads. Help our younger generation be dads. And listen, this goes for women. This goes for women. The Bible's really specific about older women teaching younger women. You know, younger women, just call somebody up and say, hey, can I come over? And just start firing away questions to these older women. You don't think they got gray hair for nothing. They got some stories to tell you. All right? And they'll help you and they'll instruct you. And you know, when you're walking with your God, I'm not judging you. I'm here as a woman, and if you're a guy, to step in and help others out. Amen. I like the Bible. Listen, we're a family. We're called the family of God. We're a church family, and that means we help one another. All right? If you don't know what to do in life, call me up. I'll tell you. I'll tell you people need help. All right. So, number one, we have footsteps that dads follow. We have footsteps that dads are going to fail in, but they're going to make mistakes, but we come alongside them. And the last one, we have footsteps that need to be filled, and that's really everybody coming in and filling those spots for people without. Now, to close up, I have 8 suggestions. Notice that I didn't say instructions, right? It's at the bottom of your page here. But before I get to that, you know, if we are not going to be we're not going to have success in our own families, we're not going to have success in church, we're not going to have success in our culture, in this world, until dads start taking the responsibility, start, you know, filling themselves up with the Lord, getting their instructions and doing what they're called to be. And I believe that when we have all the pieces in the body doing it, we will have a success. We will have change. Okay, but we need guys, we need men, we need dads to take their responsibility and start walking these footsteps out so younger people will follow it. Praise God. Last scripture. Here we go. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. These are practical suggestions. Instructions. Suggestions. Instructions. Suggestions. Okay, whatever you want to call them. Here we go. Practical suggestions. All right. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy out of the Message Bible. It's actually a command. Okay. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home, walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning and when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and the foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. All right. Did you notice the first instructions are to men? And they say, first, you get them in you before you try shoving it in somebody else. First, you get the instructions, the word of God, the plan inside of you. It becomes so in you, and then you can go instruct your kids. Did you see that? Yeah, it says, get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children. Okay, then it says to talk about them. Okay, talk about them, and they list all these places and times, and it simply means talk about the Lord over and over and over. You know, just don't talk about the Lord after church at lunch. Talk about it every day, from the time you get up, from the time you go down. Just talk about the Lord. So you go, well, okay, Pastor D, how do you talk about the Lord? How do you talk and instruct and train and nurture my kids at my house and the people that you might put in my life? Okay, how do you do that? Well, number one, I'm going to give you some suggestions. Here we go. Men, dads, start a regular Bible program. I hate to use the word program, but you've got to get regular reading and spending time with God. So that's the first thing. Once you do that, then you've got something to pour into your kids. Then you've got some footsteps that they should follow. All right? So first, men. Now listen, there's Bible app, YOU Bible app. Amazing. Put it on your phone. Put it on whatever you want to put it on. There's devotionals. That's what I had. One more here. We've got devotionals back here. Where's my other one? All right, I didn't pull them up because we've got devotionals in the back there for men. There's all sorts of devotions. Just Google your favorite minister, and I bet they got a men's devotional. But men, you have to have a regular daily program that you're doing. Otherwise, you can't do the rest of this. All right, so number one, start a regular Bible program. Number two, talk about the word with your kids. Talk about the word with your kids. Talk about your word with the kids. Like, let's see. The Bible says, the Deuteronomy says, talk about the word when you wake up and when you go to sleep. All right, well, how do you do that? I get up first and I'm out the door, some dad's saying. I'm out the door before my kids get up. Write them a note. Hey, bud, go play softball when you get back. And then you give them a scripture. All right? So you can write little notes to your kids. I don't know. I'm not a big note writer. I'd probably make you a cupcake, but, you know, that's me. All right. But you've got to find every day throughout the day where you're talking about who God is in your life so your kids will know the God that they should follow. All right, you're going to throw them here at church. And let me tell you, we do an awesome job teaching your kids the Word of God. We teach them who the Creator is. We teach them the Savior. We teach them about the devil and how to cast him out. We teach them all this stuff here. And great, but what do you do in the rest of the week? So you need to talk about it. And after you've spent daily, got a program going on in your life, you'll have all these great opportunities. I'll never forget, Sherry was babysitting over at the Sacketts, and one of the little boys, probably the oldest one, is Jonah, and he hurt himself. And Sherry came running over, scooped this little kid up, and starts praying over this little boy. Sherry was probably maybe 12 years old, probably 11. All right. And that mom was like, wow, that was amazing. No, she's watched her daddy every day and her mom, you know, pray for all sorts of things. Okay. But we were actually had this in our life. We were making footsteps. My kid was following footsteps and then she was doing it wherever she went. That's what we want. All right. Number three. Here we go. Number three. Listen to worship music and teaching in your car. All right. You don't have to listen to it all the time. You can listen to a ball game. All right. I don't know what else you listen to. Rush Limbaugh. Okay. But listen, try to put some worship music on in the car with your kids or your favorite teacher. Not just VeggieTales in the car. All right. Put them on and just... Be singing, and your kids, right then, you're making footsteps that you want your kids to follow. So put some worship music on or some teaching in the car. How many people have worship music in your car? Yeah. How many throw teaching on? Was Vanessa borrowed my car, and she was listening. That was Karen Jensen. That's who that was. I thought, did I do that message? I didn't do that message. She's in my car, and I've got teaching going on. Amen. All right. Number four. We did this. Reward your kids for memorizing scripture verses. You reward them when they bring home a report card. How many give your kids money when they give a report card? They get straight A's. My kids never get straight A's. Well, a couple of them did, but. All right. Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. So don't look at me like I'm off the chart and say, reward your kids for memorizing Bible scriptures. Now, when they were little, I could get away with a sticker. And then when they were a little bit bigger, I can give them candy bars. Till we went to the dentist, we started, we're going to do it. So now every kid goes, give me $2. All right. But listen, reward your kids. Tell them this week we're all going to memorize this scripture. All right. And then at the end of the week, if they do it, pay them. All right. Y'all live with me? That's not bad. Okay. All right. Number five, talk about what they're learning in the Word in church. Used to pick up my kids after church and throw them in the back of the car, and I'd ask them, hey, what'd you learn today? Come on. Nothing. I don't know. All right. You need the Spirit of God to ask it better. So this is what I do. In the back of the car, what'd you learn? Nothing. Now, my favorite was, I'm not getting lost, but I'm going to tell you this. My favorite was, who's your favorite teacher? Now, I should not have asked that. But you know what their favorite teacher? It was whoever gave out the best candy bars. Wasn't what they learned. It was a teacher. It was Marcia Furtalk. Just crack me up. Okay, so throw them in the back of the car. What'd you learn? Nothing. Then I'd say, oh, I bet you learned about the Tyrannosaurus Rex today, right? Right? And they'd look at me, what? No, we learned about Jonah today, Mom. And they start, blah, 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 blah. They tell me all about it. So you got to be creative when they go, I didn't learn nothing. All right? And sometimes I'm going, God, I need more wisdom. I'm asking. So and now, it was interesting when they were little. When they got older and they had been following our footsteps, I could ask them, hey, where are you reading today? And then they say, I said, no lying. They say, well, I didn't read. I said, go back upstairs. But then I say, then come back down. What'd you learn? And my kids would sit down. While I was reading over in Mark chapter whatever, and I learned this. It was a regular conversation in our house. What'd you learn today? Where are you reading today? Okay. Now, certain ones, it was like beating them to get it there. But, okay. But they got it. They got it. All right. Next one. Let them ask questions. Guys, this younger generation is living in a culture where they are challenging everything that you believe and that I believe. They are asking questions and they just don't believe it, all right? And your kids are in this environment and they might come to you and ask some questions. And don't chuck them on the floor and say, how dare you ask that question? Ah! All right? Let them ask their questions. And you know what? You probably don't have the answer. Any of you have got your master's in divinity? I don't. And there are many times, especially children's ministry, kids would come up, Pastor, do you have a question for you? And I'd go, come back next week and I will have the answer. Right? They'd ask some really tough questions. And those are little kids that I dealt with. And your teens, especially if you have teens, they're asking you questions and it's okay to say, I don't know. But listen, they all have access to internet. Say, listen, you come back next or tomorrow or whenever you've got time and you go study it and I'm going to go study it and we're going to talk about it. And you know what the greatest thing that happens? Your kids have now detached from sucking just from mom and dad. And they've put themselves into the Word of God and they start studying for themselves. Isn't that what you want? You want your kids to study for themselves, know God for themselves. So that's an amazing thing. Let them ask questions. I'm talking more about teens. Little kids, they just ask funny questions. But all right, number seven. Everybody say seven is the magic number with God, right? Tell me what it says. Okay, now put the word dads. Oh, some of you didn't say it. Dads, engage in public worship. Okay. Praise God. Worship team, you ever look out there? Don't look out there. They don't look out there. Listen, you are making footsteps. You have this incredible responsibility, command from the Lord to create an environment and footsteps for them to follow. And if you engage in public worship, my God, you lift your hands up. Or better yet, you sing. Listen, your kid knows you sing bad, right? They know you, they've heard you, but you don't care because you love the Lord God and you want your kids to love the God that you love and you start engaging in worship. You are creating footsteps. But how about, you know, and all they see is their mom worshiping. Oh, you know, mom. Okay, what message are we telling our young men? Oh, well, only ladies worship. Man, you don't know your Bible. You go dig in the Old Testament especially. There's all men in the temple. And the glory cloud came in. All right? Those were men on the front line worshiping God. So you have this responsibility to instruct, to train, and nurture. So men need to engage in worship. Amen? Amen. Next Sunday, Vanessa is going to be awesome in the house. They're going to be singing. Okay. Yeah. All right. Last one. Talk about your day with your kids. Jack told me this funny story. Cracked me up. He tells this story because Phil used to travel, right? He was gone. And he'd come home with his little attaché briefcase and he'd bring out all sorts of things that he got from the stir your drink, you know, all that stuff and matches and stuff like that. And as a little kid, he said it was the greatest thing when dad came home, he'd open up this briefcase and pull out all this stuff. And he says, I used to think my dad was a spy. You know, if you watch James Bond, you know, he opens up his tattoo and pulls out a gun and probably had a gun, you know, Phil, he just had guns and stuff like this. And I was thinking about that, which is so funny. It's a cute story. I wish he was here to tell the whole story, but whatever. Okay, but the thing is, he didn't know what his dad did. Now, he probably, I'm going to give benefit of Phil, he probably told him that I am a manufacturer representative for plastics, right? Is that something like that? Okay, probably went right over his head. But how many of your kids know what you do? All right, you need to talk about your day with your kids. Best time is at dinner time or they're crashing on the sofa and just say, hey, you know, you don't have to give them all the nitty gritty because kids are kids. I love kids innocence. All right, I love that. But they need to know what dads should do. Tell them where you went today if you're traveling. Show them a map. Get you, say, I started here, and I went all the way over here, and I came back again. I used to, where's Antonio? Did he have to leave? Antonio would call me up, and he is a trucker, and I go, where are you? And he'd tell me he's traveling. I'm over here in Iowa. Okay? Tell your kids about your life. Tell them about one of the coworkers that's going through a rough time and say, hey, can you pray for him? Get your kids in your life. Because someday, that kid's not going to be a kid. Someday, they're going to be grown men and women. And you will have had footsteps that they follow in. And guys, that's our God-given role and responsibility, is to create a path and a way that they follow. And if you're following him, they'll get there. Okay, amen. Let's close your eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the fathers in this place. I thank you, Father, that you have brought life and light in areas that maybe we missed it, or maybe we just need it to be encouraged. I thank you, Father, that for the women that are in this place, and that they'll give them a break and cover them when they make mistakes, and honor them and respect them. And children, if you're in here, that you will honor and respect your dads, because there is a lot of pressure, and we're behind them. We're not tossing them. And we believe, Father God, that our units, our family units can change as dads step into the role. I believe that this church can change as men step into the roles that you've given them. And I believe this country will change when men of God step into their roles and start walking this out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, everybody's eyes closed still.